Before I read the gospel for today, I want to begin by reminding you that this version of the Lord's Prayer, the one that's closest to the one that we typically recite together each Sunday and the one many of us have committed to memory, that version is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew as part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the one Jesus preached at the beginning of his ministry. While Luke's version, the one we're about to hear, is part of what is referred to as the travel narrative. This is when Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem and the cross that awaits him there. So it's at the end of his ministry. This is an important distinction, I think, because it helps us to see that the writer of Luke Acts places an emphasis on the role of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Spirit that's given to us. And now hear the gospel. According to Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And your friend answers from within, 'Do not bother me, for the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' Jesus said, 'I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened.' After this, Jesus asked, 'Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I wanted to give that little background before I read for you the text today, because if you notice that right away, instead of saying, "Our Father," Jesus simply said, "Father." And there's lines that are left out that are included in the gospel according to Matthew. And that's the one that's most familiar to us. I also wanted you to hear that this was at the end of Jesus' ministry and not at the beginning as it is in Matthew. So having heard the words that Jesus taught his disciples and that we ourselves have in turn learned to pray, coupled with the two stories, or the one story and the several examples that Jesus gave, I want to encourage us to acknowledge that this can have a point out three things for us to remember or to glean from it. One is our dependency on God. I'll try to make that a little clearer. Our second is our need for persistent prayer. And the third thing is God's desire for us to be open to unexpected surprises. Now, first, whenever we engage in prayer, and by the way, I don't think there's a right or wrong way to pray. There's not a specific formula that you must use. And I don't think that prayer takes only one form. I think there's many ways to pray. through song, through meditation, through silence, and through words, just to name a few. But there's no right or wrong way to pray. Whenever we engage in prayer, though, it assumes a reciprocal relationship with God. God with us and us with God, both individually and communally. Prayer invites us into relationship with God. Even in those moments when I'm talking to myself, I sometimes wonder if what I'm really doing is praying to God. I'm wondering if there's some relationship thing going on where when I'm thinking or speaking out loud and I'm all alone, if I'm really praying to God in those moments. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray by saying Father or Our Father, he was emphasizing a familial and intimate relationship with the Holy. To be clear, the image that Jesus uses of God as Father was never intended to invoke in us painful memories of an abusive earthly father or mother or anyone else for that matter. Rather, I invite you to think of this as a reminder of a deeply personal and intimate relationship, a connection, if you will, like that of a truly loving parent who ideally has the best interests of their child at heart. And I want to identify with that dependency, especially an infant or a young child has with the person who serves as their caregiver, whether that be the mother or father or both, or a grandparent or whomever. It's essential to their survival before they're even capable of fending for themselves. An infant needs that parent figure to provide for it, to nurture it, to help it to grow. And perhaps that's a way that we can that can help us to understand God's desire for a close and loving relationship with all of us, with each one of us. Like when a parent has a relationship that is loving, nurturing, protective, and supportive. In the best sense, it's one where the parent will do anything and everything they possibly can. Anything within their power to protect and to provide for that child in order for the child to grow and to thrive. Again, we all know earthly parents will fall short of that. Sometimes we fail. Just as rebellious children sometimes fail to receive the direction that their parents give them. We have a propensity to be like rebellious children who fail to heed the love, nurture, protection, and support, and even the appropriate discipline of parents who are looking out for their child's welfare in order to keep them safe from harm. That's what God does as well. Provides for us to keep us safe from harm. And that too speaks to our relationship with God. For all too often we rebel against God, and it is our sin that separates us from God, but not God from us. Second, to pray as Jesus taught his disciples means to be persistent. And to pray with persistence is to keep on asking, to keep on searching, to keep on knocking. For in asking, we will receive. In searching, we will find. And in knocking, the door will be opened. Two things I want to point out, though. In our first reading for today, we have an example of that kind of persistence in the story of Abraham's pleading, begging God to relent from punishing the righteous along with the wicked. That story serves as an example for us not to give up, but to keep on keeping on. You can be sure that God will never give up on us, ever. The other thing about searching and asking and knocking is we may not get what we asked for exactly, or what we were searching or hoping to find, or the door may not open in the way we had hoped or expected. But the third point is when the door was fine, we find ourselves knocking on does open, and trust me, it will open. Then we should also be open to the unexpected surprises God has in store for us. Today, Jesus reminds us that if earthly parents who are flawed are able to give good gifts to their children by loving and nurturing them and providing what their children need, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Notice Jesus didn't teach His disciples that when they pray, God will give them whatever they ask for. Instead, He tells them that the Holy Spirit will be given to them. That is both a promise and an invitation. Jesus promised His disciples that when He returned to the Father in heaven, He would send them the Holy Spirit, an advocate, to be with them forever. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and they were empowered by the promised gift of the Spirit to continue Christ's ministry, so that not their will, but God's will be done on earth as in heaven. And that very Spirit is also given to us. It's given to us as both promise and gift. For the Holy Spirit continues to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify us in our faith, so that together we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. That is promise. But there's also an invitation to keep on knocking. And with it comes the promise that the door will be opened, just as it's not just, though, what we expect. We have to be prepared to expect the unexpected. Because in prayer, when our hearts are opened, we might just be surprised what it is God has in store for us. We could give countless examples of things in our own lives where we've asked or prayed for one thing, and suddenly something else happens, and we realize that that was God's will for us, not what we were praying for in the first place. It might even cause a once rebellious teenager to decide at the age of 30 that she wants to enter into a fuller relationship with God. Perhaps an answer to her grandmother's persistent prayer. In just a few moments, we have the privilege to do what I have never done in my ministry before, and that is to stand before one young adult, Morgan McKenna McCrory, who is publicly affirming the promises God first made to her in the waters of holy baptism. And we will welcome her into our family of faith and into the mission we share. Now, a little backstory is Morgan at age 14, whose family's part of this church for now many, many years, at age 14 wanted nothing to do with confirmation class, in spite of the fact that her sisters, Lexa and Maddie, both went through confirmation at Central Lutheran Church. Morgan, in her rebellious state said, I'll have none of that. Now, I respect parents who allow for that. Let your children say no for a time, because God will continue to work at them and work at them and work at them. And suddenly, as in Morgan's case, she calls me up and says to me, I'd like to be confirmed as a Lutheran. I mean, to go through confirmation class, not just to make the promises public like when we affirm our baptism, but I want to do the class, the preparation. And so that's what we did, one-on-one, on Zoom, for several months. And Morgan and I looked at all the things that we typically look at with 14-year-olds, only this was more fun. This was far more interesting and engaging because there was conversation continually, and Morgan realized all the things that she had learned as a child were also in the recesses of her memory. And she was able to discover for herself that she knew a lot of the stories in the Bible, and that they had always meant something to her, that her relationship with God was always there. And so today, in just a few moments, we will witness this, and it is a joy, Morgan, to stand before the congregation and to have you stand with me and us together, and recognizing that the Spirit did, that the door that was opened up for you was the gift of the Holy Spirit that was there all along, but now that you're claiming for yourself, and so that you can partner with us in the mission we share. And for that, I want to say thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Let the doors of our hearts be opened, O God, to receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. Equip and empower us with whatever you see that we need. Then send us out with good courage, trusting that your hand will lead and guide us, and that you will never abandon nor forsake us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.